As I prepare to bring you a word from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning, there are a few things that are weighing heavily upon my mind. This morning is the 17th Sunday in 2020 without in-person worship at St. Andrew's Kirk because of the restrictions related to COVID-19. While we did have 7 weeks of limited in-person worship in June and July, for most of you, it has been over 24 weeks since you last worshiped in this place. That fact hurts my heart, and I know it hurts yours as well. I'm also mindful that this Tuesday marks 1 year since the devastation caused by Hurricane Dorian and all the pain and death and suffering experienced by our brothers and sisters in Abaco and Grand Bahama. It's hard to measure the anguish they experienced and the disruption to their lives, which for many continue even today, almost a year later. And on a personal note, today is a very sobering day for me. Exactly 36 years ago this morning, my mother came into my bedroom to tell me that my father had died in the early hours of the morning. August 30th, 1984, continues to be the most painful day in my life. Have you ever come across the message, sometimes in a meme, have you ever come across the message that says God will not give you more than you can handle? Has a well-meaning Christian friend ever said that to you in a time of difficulty? God will not give you more than you can handle. I want you to know for certain this morning that that statement's not true. That statement's not in the Bible. At best, it is a poor interpretation of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which reads, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." In this passage, Paul is aiming to encourage believers who are genuinely worried about committing apostasy and falling away. The Greek word here, translated in the ESV as escape, is very close to the word exodus. The idea here is that as you and I struggle with temptation, we can expect God to provide an exodus. We can expect God to deliver us in a manner that allows our faith to endure to the very end. But the idea that God will, in every instance, restrain our circumstances so that we are never overwhelmed is not something that the Bible teaches. I submit to you this morning that God often gives us more than we can handle. Thankfully, God purposefully gives us more than we can handle. Now, to some, this may be unnerving to hear. If you imagined that your relationship with God afforded you some special exemption from the most serious forms of trouble, What I am suggesting will be unsettling for you to consider, at least at first. For others, the notion that God often and God purposefully gives you more than you can handle may bring some sense of relief. In terms of normalizing what you have already experienced over the course of your life, I suspect there are many who are listening this morning who can point to instances, who can point even to seasons when you felt entirely overwhelmed by life circumstances. You can think of moments and times when you are knocked off your feet because of your troubles. For some of you, this followed the death of someone you loved dearly. For others, it may be the emotional trauma you experienced when an important relationship broke down. Still others have been knocked down by unemployment and underemployment, and the financial hardship which followed. Or perhaps what overwhelms you is what I would call death by a thousand cuts. Death by a thousand cuts. I use that phrase because often in my life, it's not one particular trial, but it's a combination of things. It's a combination of trials and the accumulative effect of that combination of trials that breaks us down. Many of you know firsthand that God often allows you to experience more than you can handle. Friends, our passage today, 2 Corinthians 1, tells us that we are in good company. The Apostle Paul describes being overwhelmed throughout 2 Corinthians. This is a theme throughout the letter, how Paul is overwhelmed by all that he is experiencing. Have a look again at chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, "We don't want you to be unaware of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." I want you to note that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, doesn't say, "Oh, by the way, there's been a few hiccups in our plan. There's been a few bumps along the road." Nor does Paul say, "Just so you're aware, we've experienced some minor challenges, but don't worry, we're going to be fine." Paul doesn't even say, "We were feeling heavily burdened. We were really feeling it from these challenges." No. Paul says, "We were utterly burdened." To be utterly burdened is to be burdened to the max, to the absolute limit, and then some. Has that ever been your experience? Has the weight of your trial, has the weight of your trouble ever been so great and so heavy that you despaired how you would ever go forward? This was the Apostle Paul's experience. "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." The Apostle Paul, the great first century missionary, despaired of life itself. I think it is safe to say that Paul was experiencing more than he could handle. That God gave Paul more than he could handle. That's what he's saying right there in the text. Why would God allow this? Why would God permit Paul to be beaten down like this? Why would God allow any of his children to be brought down and overwhelmed by hard circumstances? Why would he allow that to happen to any of us? Paul provides an answer that I am certain applies to each of us. Paul says this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And here Paul puts his finger on the great temptation for you and for me. Our great temptation is to rely on ourselves and to do things apart from God's strength. Our tendency in life is to do things according to our preferences and according to our abilities. And too often, we treat prayer the same way we treat a fire alarm. Something to be pulled only when things get dire or desperate. Our natural default, let's admit it, our natural default is to be self-sufficient, to be independent, to be our own boss, to even be autonomous. If we get knocked down, we dust ourselves off, and we get back up again. Because we've been trained from the youngest of years that we're going to stand on our own two feet. But you realize, friends, this runs contrary to what the Bible prescribes. This independent, self-sufficient, autonomous, do your own thing posture is against God's will. King Solomon says so. I quote King Solomon because I can't think of anyone in human history who had more power and more autonomy than King Solomon. And yet this is what King Solomon says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and following. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Friends, it is with great purpose this morning that I connect Solomon's exhortation with Paul's testimony. I want to connect Solomon's exhortation with Paul's testimony. And the lesson that emerges from this is that one way or another, God is going to have His way with you. One way or another, the thing that God wants done will happen. So we can learn a posture of dependence from God's Word, or we can learn a posture of dependence from God's providence. And I can assure you, the former is easier than the latter. Mercifully, God's good plan for us is not thwarted when you insist on doing things your own way. And Jonah might be the most obvious example of this in the Bible. You may recall that God instructs, He commands Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach to them, to call them to repentance. Jonah does his own thing. He says, "No, I'm not going to Nineveh." And he flees from the presence of the Lord as if that were possible. So Jonah then purchases a ticket and boards a ship headed for Tarshish. Long story short, God then appoints a storm, which ultimately leads to Jonah being thrown overboard. Then God appoints a great fish, presumably a whale. And not long after that, Jonah is in Nineveh preaching to the people. God is going to have his way. We can learn a posture of dependence from God's word as it is taught and proclaimed to us, as we read it for ourselves. We can learn a posture of dependence from God's word, or we will learn it from God's providence. And while God's providence is always good, and God's providence is always for his glory, God's providence can be tough. It can be hard. It can be painful. Ask Joseph, the story in the latter chapters of Genesis. God's providence is good in the end. It's good all the way through, but it's painful. Some of you know what this is like in your own experience. You know what it is like to have God rescue you from your own decisions. You went your own way, you did your own thing, and you can recall a time when God mercifully rescued you from those poor decisions. Notice, it's not always the case that we're doing bad things when God rescues us. This is very important, because I think many of us imagine, well, when I get off track, when I backslide, God hunts me down. Yes. But it's not always when we're doing bad things. Because that's not what's going on with the Apostle Paul. What is Paul doing when God intervenes? Paul's preaching the gospel. Paul's committed his entire life to the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And we are hard-pressed to find anyone in Christian history that was more committed to the cause of Christ than Paul. Nevertheless, Paul discerned that he needed to learn a lesson from his pain and from his adversity. Paul looked backwards and he saw the blessing of being overwhelmed. He says, this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Friends, if the Apostle Paul needed hard circumstances to compel his reliance upon God, why would you ever think that you would be exempt from pain and trouble? If my mother were alive and here this morning, she would tell you that I spent most of my childhood, most of my teenage years, doing things the hard way. I was the one who always learned the hard way. There were a lot of I told you so moments in my childhood. And if I had only listened to my mother more, I could have avoided so many difficult situations and challenging outcomes. Suffice it to say that our parents don't impose strict measures in order to make our lives more difficult. Our parents hedge us in for our own protection, and they instruct us for our own good. Similarly, the Lord says to Israel, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments which I am commanding you today for your good. If God's children do not learn a posture of humility and dependence from God's word, we will learn it from his providence, and it will be hard. I realize up to this point my interest has been for you to individually consider your level of reliance and your level of dependence and your level of leaning upon the Lord, with reference, of course, to Solomon's instruction and Paul's testimony. But I also think God often compels reliance from His children on a much grander scale. That God compels reliance from His children on not so much an individual level all of the time, but on a much grander scale. What do I mean? The Hebrew Scriptures are replete with examples where the lesson being conveyed and the discipline being applied is intended for the entire nation of Israel. And I can't help but wonder if we are in one of those moments in history right now. We have a lingering global pandemic that has claimed almost 1 million lives. The effects upon the Bahamas alone, the effects upon our economy, the effects upon our liberties, the effect upon our mental health are substantial. Many are finding these persistently unpredictable conditions and hard circumstances. Many are finding these to be overwhelming. I suspect that many in the Bahamas and throughout the world could say with the Apostle Paul today, we are so utterly burdened. So utterly burdened beyond our strength that we are despairing for life itself. And if this is the case, could it be that the grand lesson for God's people in this difficult season is the very same lesson that the wonderful, faithful Apostle Paul learned? That we too might learn to confess that this was to make us rely not on ourselves, not on our innovation, not on that which we saved for a rainy day, not upon our healthy way of living, not upon ourselves, but we rely on God who raises the dead. Our current pandemic and the corresponding confinement has taught me a number of things, revealed some things about myself that I'm not too fond of, and maybe why I thought this was such an important message for you this morning is because one of the things I've learned is that I don't rely upon God nearly as much as I ought to. And so as I preach Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, as I share Paul's testimony from 2 Corinthians 1, I do it as someone who often tries to stand on his own two feet, who likes to take pride in throwing some dirt on it and walking it off. I was raised this way. I was raised to be independent, to do things my own way, to be my own boss. But the Lord is correcting me, and I wonder if He's correcting you. Stop being so independent. Be dependent upon the Lord. I need Thee every hour. You need Him every hour. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I'm still learning things the hard way. But I'm grateful that I'm learning. I'm resisting the natural instinct to run away from hard things. I'm resisting the instinct to want to shed my burdens. I've been in enough small groups, I've been in enough prayer meetings to know that your instinct matches mine. Something bad befalls us and we want it gone. Pray that this thing leaves. goes away, never comes back. Pray that this thing will be fixed. Maybe we ought not to pray that way at first. Maybe instead of asking the Lord to remove the burdens, we should be praying, Lord, what do you want to teach me in this? Lord, this burden is heavy. My suffering is real. My pain is acute. And every part of me wants this gone. But if you have permitted this, you must have a lesson in it for me. What do you want to teach me? How do you intend to use this hardship to conform me to the image of your Son? Friends, these are the questions we should be asking. Resist any and every temptation to lash out at God and to question His wisdom. God's purposes towards His children are kind. And even when hardships persist and burdens are heavy, these are God's instruments designed to bring us closer to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Amen.